We want to invite your attention to the book of Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read two verses, verses 22 and 23. And our subject this morning is purpose. Purpose. Matthew 6, 22, 23. The Lord Jesus Christ is here speaking about heavenly or divine principles of behavior and thought and planning. And in the midst of this talking about moral principles and behavior principles, he says this, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Take that exactly the way it is spoken, because there is a physical message there. But we want to look at the spiritual message after we've just briefly looked at the physical one. Verse 23, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." Now the fact that we can never truly know what goes on in most people's minds has given rise to an axiom, and it goes something like this. You can never know what that person is thinking. You ever use that phrase? You ever hear people use it? I've used it. You probably have too. Because it's in the mind that we plan and devise strategies which give birth to actions in our lives. And it's also in the mind that we have our secret place. The place that, for the most part, remains protected from intrusions or invasions by other human beings. People can play with your mind, but they have a hard time getting in there and intruding into your private things that go on in your mind. Now, the mind is a great and wonderful gift from God to man. Nothing like the human mind among creation's things. There really isn't. The capacity of our minds is far greater than we use, really. Our scientists tell us that we use 10% or less of our brain. What's going on with the other 90%? It's capacity. Potential. I have a funny feeling that Adam knew something about using a large portion of that other 90%. But I believe that he and his offspring lost that capacity when sin entered in. But each of us has probably discovered that there's capabilities in our minds that we really didn't know we had until we were forced to bring them out and to use them. By the ability of the human mind, how well the human mind is able to do things, we see a lot of things that the lower animal world never sees, never knows, never understands, never comprehends. It's by the ability of the human mind that we perceive God and the workings of creation and the interaction of ourselves within that creation. Now, the mind receives its stimulation from our senses. Things are going on out here in the world, but you wouldn't know that if you didn't have some senses that could tell your mind what was going on. So, we see that whatever the mind is stimulated to operate upon or to respond to, it comes through our senses. So, this July the 4th, Dad may be out back grilling, and your sense of smell will tell you that, hey, there's steaks on the grill. And if you go out to the grill and watch him grill, you're not going to help him if you can get out of it, I know. If you happen to touch that grill, your sense of touch is going to tell you that that grill is very hot. The mind is told, oh, there's steaks on the grill by the sense of smell. The mind is told by touching the hot grill, oh, the grill is hot. And we find that everything that comes into the mind comes through one of these vehicles in our senses. With our eyes, when we're ready to cross the road, with our ears, when we're ready to cross a road, we may hear a car coming. It's by the ear that the mind is told, oh, there's a car coming down the road. You better watch and not step out in front of it. And with the eyes, we can look down the road from whence the sound came. And we look there, and here comes an SUV around the corner. And our eyes will tell us, well, that's an SUV. It's a metal gray SUV or something. Our eyes feed the brain to tell us what the car looks like. All these things happen in our brains, and we assimilate those things that come through the senses, and thus we gain a sense of who we are, what's going on around us, and how the world works. Now, from all the things the mind is able to comprehend and assimilate, we know that we derive purposes in our lives. And this is the subject of Jesus' teaching. I've had difficulty with these verses before. And it takes a little bit of studying sometime to understand what is in these two verses that we're going to use as our text. And the reason it does is because if you read after the commentators, you find out that most of them go immediately to things that are extraneous, outside the human being, to illustrate what Jesus is talking about here. I don't believe that's the way we ought to show it. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was something showing us something in these verses internal about us, about the human creature. And if we can see that, I think we can gain a lot this morning about understanding purposes in our own life and understanding how those purposes come to be what they are and how they get fit into our list of priorities. And I believe we can, by looking at Jesus' lesson here this morning, we can gain some wisdom about purpose, the purpose that ought to exist for our lives. So looking at verse 22, I want us to notice that this verse is about perception and understanding in the role of building purpose in our lives. It's about perception and understanding and how perception and understanding operates as a role maker to build in us certain purposes. The light of the body is the eye, said Jesus. Now, I want to get straight to what I believe He's teaching us here in plain country boy language and say that I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us that people function according to how they see things. Isn't that what He's saying? The rest of Scripture will verify that. So Jesus is saying here, first of all, to this group of people, people function according to how they see things. And once we understand that, it'll explain a whole lot about why people have the values they have, why they build purposes into their life of the kind that they do, and, if you will, what makes them tick. Understanding that it's according to how they see things in life that determine what kind of decisions they make. I think one of the greatest illustrations of this can be seen in a real short little narrative called You Have Two Cows. So let's all just right now take you to mean you, yourself, personally, and let's look at this story about You Have Two Cows. Okay, first of all, from the eyes of the socialists, or in the realm of the culture of socialism, you have two cows. In socialism, your government decides that your neighbor is in need, and he takes one of those cows away from him and gives it to your neighbor. Notice that the government decides in socialism that your neighbor is in need. You didn't. You weren't allowed to identify whether he was or not. It was by some standard that the socialist government set that they decided your neighbor was in need. Whatever rules they used, nobody knows. I've never been able to fathom the mind of socialists, but socialists operate from how they see things. And so they'll take your cow and give it to somebody they think is in need because that's how they see things. What about how the communist sees things? In the communist world, you have two cows. The government takes them both and provides you with some little bit of the milk that they give, but gives the rest of the milk to others who never worked but depended on the government to get what they needed. That's communism. They operate that way because that's the way they see things. What about how fascism sees things? You have two cows under a fascist government. The government takes both those cows and then sells you the milk. That's fascism. They do it that way because that's the way they see things are supposed to be done. You see all the different slants on the viewpoint about your two cows here? What about the case of Nazism? You have two cows and live under Nazism. What happens? The government takes both cows and then shoots you. That's Nazism. They shoot you and take both cows because they see that's the way it's supposed to be done. For whatever perverted reasons, that's how they operate. What about the bureaucracy? We know about bureaucracy. I work for a bureaucracy. How does the bureaucracy think and see things? You have two cows under the bureaucracy. What happens? The government takes both the cows, shoots one, milks the other, and then pours the milk down the drain and pays you for the milk. That's bureaucracy. That's the way they think. That's the way they do. The epitome of incompetence in many cases. Well, all of us know about big industry and corporations. How does corporate operate with your two cows? You have two cows under the corporate framework. Here's the way it happens. You sell one, if you're thinking corporately, you sell one and force the other one to produce milk for four cows, and then you act surprised when it drops dead. That's bureaucracy. Any of you that work for corporate. Any of you that have worked for corporations know that's kind of the way it does. They do it. Well, what about democracy? How do those that live from a philosophy of democracy see your two cows? In a democracy, the government taxes you to the point that you have to sell both your cows in order to support a man in a foreign country who has only one cow that was given to him as a gift by your government. That's a democracy. They do it that way because that's the way they see things are supposed to be done. I'm building a case here for you to understand that people, human beings, operate or function according to how they see things. What about capitalism? You have two cows under capitalism. Turns out this one turns out to be a pretty good one, really. Under capitalism, you have two cows. What you do with your two cows is this. You sell one cow and buy a bull. And then as a result of that transaction, you raise a whole herd of cows, cattle real cheaply, and you're able to sell your neighbor cattle real cheap because you had great success at raising cows under your own influence, according to your own dictates, according to your own process. You do that because that's the way you see things ought to be done. That's the corporate cow ownership, or the capitalism, rather. What about Christianity? How is it under a Christian culture that we see things? You have two cows under Christianity. You see your neighbor is in need, a real need, that you're able to identify as a real need. Not the kind of need that a government somewhere defines as a need. You see that your neighbor has need. Under Christian culture, you have two cows in this case. You either share your milk with your neighbor. That'd probably be the best for him, because he wouldn't have to feed a cow. Or you could give him one of your cows. That's the Christian ethic. And why do they do it that way? Why do we act that way toward a neighbor? Because that's the way we see things ought to be done. So this is the essence of the light of the body is in the eye. We need to understand that we do things according to how we see things. This is very important for how you behave as a child of God. Now, the next part of this verse that Jesus spoke of says this, "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." In other words, you're going to perform according to the way you see things, and if the way you see things is not corrupted, is not polluted, is not divided, does not exist in a realm of cross purposes, if it exists as a single eye, and I'll get to that single in a minute, your whole body will be full of light. Now, seen in a physical message, it's just as simple. If your whole, all of the things about your eye are able to comprehend that there's plenty of light in here, and you look around, there's no point, no place that you look that you can't see clearly what that is. What is there and what is there. There's a door jamb. There's a door. There's some people. There's some pews. There's some windows. There's some lights. There's a ceiling. And so on. Your whole body is informed about its surroundings when there's sufficient light. That's what Jesus is saying concerning the physical message. But what does it teach as a spiritual message? Because this is a physical illustration about a spiritual purpose and its outcome. So what does it teach? First of all, let me say that the single eye illustrates a dovetailing of motives, a dovetailing of intent aimed toward a single purpose. If thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. This is illustrative of focused or making everything dovetail down to a single point. Now, if I look at that in reverse, and I won't get into anatomy, but all of the light out here is gathered by the iris of the eye and brought in to the eye, and it enables you to see that, hey, things are light around here and I can see all this stuff. But the truth is that Jesus is talking about a dovetailing of things together in order to have a singleness of purpose. And how do I know that? Well, studying prayer will bring us all to this truth of what he was talking about. But he gives us a clue in one word that he uses in this verse. And that is the word single. I don't know how many of you look at different aspects of the Greek that this translation came from. But if you go back to the Greek and look at this verse, you find out that this word is haplous, and it means folded together. Folded together. And so when we see that it means this, it gives us a clue as to what he's talking about. If everything about your spiritual eye is folded together toward a single point, about a single thing, your whole spiritual aspect will be full of spiritual understanding, light, revelation. That's what he's telling us. Now, you find that the Lord Jesus, in fact, he is the only one used this in New Testament writing, and it was only used once by him in this account Of course, Luke in Luke chapter 11 has the same account, and the word is there also. But he only used it in this one instance where he was illustrating the relationship of the physical body and its eye, and the light given to the body, or the understanding or input given to the body through the eye, with the spiritual message that was given here. He only used it. It's only in the New Testament one time, this folding together. I believe there's a purpose in that by the Spirit of God. I believe He had a reason for it. Now, to help you understand, and you ladies understand this much more clearly than you men will, and I could use an illustration, but another illustration to help clarify it for you men, but I believe you're going to understand this if you've ever watched your wife mix up and get ready to bake a cake. For you men that bake all the cakes, if you wives have watched your husband bake a cake, then you're going to identify with this. All of us have heard the word folding when giving instructions about making up some recipe, a cake recipe. Listen to what folding means. Folding ingredients into a cake mixture. A method of gently mixing ingredients. It is used for delicate or whipped ingredients that cannot withstand stirring or beating, such as beaten egg whites or whipped cream, without deflating the lighter mixture. Use of a delicate or whipped ingredients and a method of gently mixing those ingredients, folding them together. This is what Jesus is talking about. When the eye has properly, when the spiritual eye has properly folded together the proper spiritual ingredients, the spiritual person with that spiritual eye will have true clarity in understanding what goes on in the spirit world, what spiritual things are about. We'll have spiritual definitions and spiritual understanding of things that may not otherwise be clear. That's exactly what our Lord is talking about. So the idea that He's talking about here is about blending the things of our lives into a common purpose. Wonder what that purpose could be. Well, we're going to get to that, but let me say that blending things into a common purpose means that there are no dual purposes, although there may be dual or even multiple actions. Multiple things in your life can be folded together to create a route to a single purpose. There won't be any cross purposes, although we may be misunderstood in our folding together of the purposes of our life. There won't be any cross purposes in this blending, in this folding of the ingredients of our life. There will be only purposes or intentions, actions, deeds, behavior aimed at folding together to a single purpose. Now, we're instructed here to see things then through one lens. Not multiple views, but see things through one lens. The lens of a single purpose. And that single purpose, brothers and sisters, is no mystery to you. It is the single purpose of magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you have folded the things of your life in together to focus on a single purpose, the purpose of glorifying Christ, then things in your life, the spiritual things of your life, will be so much clearer, so much better understood, and you'll be guided in a straight way by them. Now, I want you to notice, He says, thy whole body shall be full of light. That light is the Greek word for lustrous or full of light. And it also implies transparency. Now think of the word that he chose to use there. Lustrous. There's only three places. Actually, two places in the Bible that this Greek word was used. Two of them took place when Jesus made this statement. One was written down by Matthew. The other was written down by Luke. And the only other place that this word was used in the New Testament was where Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, and Peter tried to make some pay some honors to Moses and Elijah, and God appeared as a cloud, very lustrous cloud, and said, "This Jesus Christ is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." That's the only other place that this word was ever used in the New Testament. But it means lustrous, full of light, and it also implies transparency. Isn't that wonderful? If our actions of our lives, if our deeds of our lives, if the thoughts of our lives, if the function of our lives, the things that we do, whether secular or spiritual, are folded together and sourced or pointed toward the one purpose being the magnification of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual things that we need to make us go become transparent in our lives. That's what the Lord's telling us. So the spiritual message is this. When your purpose is focused on Christ and you blend the habits and aspirations of your life together into that purpose, the things around you take on their proper shape and meaning. There's a lot of mystery around us, brothers and sisters. I think a lot of it happens because we haven't folded together the characteristics of our life in order to focus on the single purpose of magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so things seem scattered and mysterious, but they need not. If we blended together those things of our life, whatever we're doing, secular, spiritual, so that they focus and are brought together into the single purpose of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, everything looks like what it's supposed to look like. Now, when our purpose is not well focused, and I think we spend times of our lives when it's not, when our purpose isn't well focused, we're kind of like the guy that Mark wrote about in Mark 8, 22 through 25. Jesus had a blind man brought to him, and they was asking for Jesus to heal the blindness, and Jesus spit on his eyes and apparently touched him, and he asked him, said, "What do you see?" And the man said, "I see men as trees walking." Now that tells you right off that the man wasn't born blind, because he knew the difference between trees and men. And the first vision that he got after Jesus spitting on his eyes and touching him was that men just looked like trees walking. They didn't have a good clear shape as being men, although he knew and understood they were walking around talking and so forth, that they were men. And that's the way it is sometimes in our lives when we don't have spiritual focus on the one great purpose in our lives. We're like that guy, and we see things blurred. Our vision is blurred. If you want to get a good illustration of what that means, and you've got eyesight like mine, just take your reading glasses off for a minute and look at these words in your Bible. That's the way we see things in life sometimes, because we have not folded together everything about our lives that we can get our arms around, folded it together to make it all about behavior aimed at magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, when we do that, when we make an honest effort, seeking the help and strength of the Spirit of God to fold together every aspect of our life, to cause us to be able to focus on the one great purpose, we're like the man was after Jesus touched his eyes again. The Bible says there in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, that after he asked him what he could see, and he said, I see men as trees walking, that the Lord Jesus Christ put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. When we get it together, brothers and sisters, concerning folding together everything in our lives for the glory of Christ, then we can see things clearly. But not otherwise. I think most of us have been through experiences like that. Now just quickly, verse 23 of our text says, But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We notice this first of all. We notice that this verse is about lacking that integration of our life business into a single purpose. This description shows us a person that lacks that. Now, this is a physical illustration about having poor light or no light, which results in a kind of blindness or inability to properly interpret what's around us. And this message in the physical realm contains more than just a physical message. It contains a spiritual message about a kind of spiritual blindness and the outcome of this condition that people get into. Now, what's the spiritual message here? He says, If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now, when the way we see things, and I think this verse says this clearly if we're just looking at the spiritual message behind the physical statement. When the way we see things is corrupted by dual or cross purposes, our perception of things in life becomes like looking around in a dark room and trying to interpret what's in there. We can see objects, shapes, but we can't see detail. And that's the way it is with our spiritual lives if we've not focused, if we've not folded together all the aspects of our life with the intent, with the purpose of magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice that this verse 23 is not about what is in the room that I just illustrated by. It's not about what's in the room. It's not even about the darkness in the room. Notice it's not. But it's about how a person is unable to see what's in the room when there's no bright illumination for one of two reasons. Either because his eyes are inadequate based on the light available to him, or the light that he has available to him is the wrong kind. Not being able to see properly, this person is burdened with the lack of information and the lack of comprehension. His whole body is full of darkness. Lots of people that way today. They have some light, but the light is corrupted by cross purposes. The light isn't the outcome or the productivity of having a singular purpose, and that purpose is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they don't have that singular purpose, they have corrupted light. There's all kinds of light, and this is one of them that's not good for the spiritual well-being of a human being. Now notice that he says, If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We need to realize that he's telling us there that understanding of spiritual things that's corrupted by having unspiritual cross purposes is the worst possible spiritual state to be in. And I've got Greek words to give me reason to believe that this is not inherent evil he's talking about here, but it's a gathered evil or an evil that is possessed as a result of something that's not inherent. So this This description cannot only fit lost people, but it can fit saved people getting into a condition like this. Now, misunderstanding and misinterpretation of what we see determines how we see things. How many times have you been sure you saw something out there, and the closer you got to it, it was something else? Or you saw something in the dark, and when you shine light on it, it was something totally different. That's exactly the way it works when we are misunderstanding spiritual things or misinterpreting spiritual things. The next thing you know, that's how we see things. And we come up with some man-concocted idea of what the spiritual message is. How can that happen? When we are not focused, when we have not blended together, folded in all the aspects of our life, so that Jesus and His magnification is the focal point, the purpose of all aspects of our life. Now, I've said this many times. It may not be necessary to say it again, but I'm going to. You can consecrate and sanctify everything in your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you find something you can't consecrate or sanctify to the Lord, you need to get rid of it. But everything else, even secular things of a diverse nature, you can consecrate to your Lord. And when you do that, you fold together your life habits, your life business, I like to call it, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a fellow by the name of W.M. Taylor that said something about all this. And I'm going to close with this short quote by him. He said, "Bind together your spare hours by the cord of some definite purpose." Isn't that right on target? Maybe the man didn't know anything about spiritual purpose, Christ-magnifying purpose. But he hit it right on the head. Bind together the spare hours of your time until they are focused on, or they are the resources for, a single purpose. That purpose is to magnify your Lord.